Hey, welcome back again. This is the Ordinary Radical Podcast, Disciples to Biblical Living feature and conversation Q&As concerning a whole wide variety of topics. We're in Disciples to Local Church through Leadership Discipleship Mission. Sit back, let's do this.
You talk really fast. Do you know that?
I do.
Yeah, you are talking so fast. Hey, for some of us Southerners, I just need you to slow down a little bit, okay?
I get my slam, my Kentucky accent.
Is that a Kentucky accent? You are terrible at a Kentucky accent.
My bad.
You should really work on
I should work on my Kentucky accent.
And, you know, I just want to ask you something because no one can see you right now. So you started shaving your head.
Yes.
But I can clearly tell you've got plenty of hair up there.
No, not really.
Yeah, well, you've got a full head of hair. What is wrong with you?
I just wanted to be cool like you, Brandon.
If I could grow hair, I would. But I can't, so I shave my head. So is it really out of convenience, or do you like the way it just looked?
I like it. I used to shave my head when I was in Japan.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, you look good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
you too.
I think you look... You would say that. I think you look good. It's just, you know, I wanted to ask you, and I thought it's best to ask while a bunch of people are listening than when we're alone.
There you go.
You know, because it's awkward when we're alone. Hey, speaking of asking questions, I got a round of questions I want to ask. This podcast is all devoted to the idea that of our own humanity and just some of the basic truths that we have to remind ourselves of as ministers and pastors. And when I say basic, I mean super basic. So basic that we overlooked them. Okay? You want to just jump in or do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I sense, so the last, for me being transparent, the last year and a half has been crazy in my life. Just super busy. People are like, how are you surviving, Jonathan? And so for me, I was just looking back and thinking some of the things, life lessons I've learned, and some of these things are so basic. It just seems so silly, but one of the ones that I think you and I were chatting was, hey, be willing to look stupid, but don't be stupid.
Okay. I'm listening. You've got my ear.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I mean, it's like, be willing to make mistakes.
Okay. I got you. There it is.
But because sometimes people are so fearful of making mistakes or trying or anything, like, it's okay. You know, you are a human being. That's what God expects out of us. And I think sometime in a performance-based culture, we get afraid and we don't want to try. Why try even if you can't do it well? So for me, I've learned the lesson that, you know, we all make mistakes. Let's just learn from it.
So that's the statement, right? There's the proverb, the pastoral proverb for you. Learn from your mistakes, right? And be willing to step out. Be willing to try something new. At the same time, don't feel like you have to reinvent the wheel, right? I like it. Here's another one for me. I am only human. And I think I have to remind myself of that daily, because I feel like that I can will the future of my church into action, or I can will certain things to happen, but I'm just flesh and blood. Of course, I have a spirit too, but I'm only human. I'm only capable of doing so much. You know, sometimes more coffee is not the answer. You know, and I can't just sludge through something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of piggybacking on that, I think you mentioned this earlier about how we are not God, and we try to be, especially pastors, and so I'm pointing the fingers at myself and ourself, but we are called to be omnipresent, to be everywhere, every time, at hospital visits, or be at the football game, be at the gathering, be at the committee meeting, be at the trustee meeting, be at the everywhere, every time. And we are called to be omniscient, who knows all the answers to all the questions that people have. And sometimes we think we're omnipotent, omnicompetent, if you would. just we were able to do everything. You were the worship leader, you were the table server, you were the media, social media, Canva, planning. You are the one who does the hospitality ministry. You're the everything and everyone's role.
Yeah.
And that's just non-reality. And to be okay, and again, this is something that I, so simple, yet lost. In the busy season, I realized that I don't have to try to do something that I am not, or try to be someone that I'm not, and be okay with that.
I love it. It's not just yourself. It's also your church, right? Another truth. We're better linked in ministry. We can accomplish more. I think as young pastors, many pastors that I know, we walk into ministry assuming that our church is the kingdom of God and that we are going to do magnificent things for His glory. And that's not necessarily rooted in the wrong heart all the time. Sometimes it is. But we have to realize there's churches down the street. There's churches half mile away. And we could do more together, linked arms.
Mm.
So it's not just me. What I'm trying to say, it's not just me as a pastor trying to be enough. I have to realize my church is not enough too.
Mm.
My church is not enough to change an entire city.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to do that work, and He's going to do it through many churches, and we should work together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another truth that I found.
Yeah. Going back to your human being, you're not a human doing.
Oh, yeah.
So simple. Yeah. Wow. Profound. A counsel that we need to remember. I can almost hear the sigh of people like, yeah, Jonathan. But I mean, realistically, how do we introduce ourselves? I'm at gatherings at a work-related thing. They would say, tell me your name and what do you do? Your role.
Yeah.
Somehow, what do you do? It's your role and that defines you. But I'm reminded, I need to be reminded, I am first and foremost a child of God, of Jesus. Number two, I'm a husband to Kennedy. And I'm the father of my four beautiful children. And then on top of that, I have the blessing to be a pastor over church. But so often we mix that, which then our priority changes too. And we've heard this in seminary. Students, it's always God first, family, and then ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's this oxymoron understanding of the human doing because of a human being, and we need to come back to that and preach it again and again and again and again. Starting, maybe not even a congregation, starting with us. So even there, the greatest gift that I can give, going back to my family, and one of the greatest mistakes I've made was saying yes to ministry and saying no to my family.
Mm.
So for me, saying no to ministry is actually saying yes to my family. And the truth of the reality is this. My church doesn't need me. My job doesn't need me.
Mm.
Even though they value me and I'm thankful for that. I would take a cup of kindness. But I didn't say on my wedding day, whether sickness or in health or rich or poor, death do us apart, my job. Kennedy only gets one Jonathan, and my children only gets one dad. And I think in the busy season of life, I've learned, okay, going back to human being, human doing, that, wow, there's a sense. And often when I talk about that, people say, but you're so young and you already know this. I've learned the hard way. I wish I could say I've learned this long ago, read it in the book. I've learned it the hard way through the hard means that I'm a child of God. I'm a husband. I'm a father. And then I'm a pastor. And those first three things matter so much more to God than how much success I have in ministry.
Man, that's good. And I hadn't thought about how you usually say, hello, I'm such and such, and I do this as my job. What if we just started saying like something we enjoy? Hi, my name is Brandon, avid Mexican food eater. I think that'd be great. That's and you would great. Learn something about people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's just change the world together, okay, guys? your name and something you enjoy. Go into the comments and put your name and something you
Let's enjoy. Let's do it.
So whenever you were talking about having proper boundaries, which is a great truth bomb, we need that in our own humanity. Another component of that truth is the church will still be there when I get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The work doesn't leave. It's still going to be there. And so I try really hard to make those boundaries for myself where I allow myself to have a Sabbath. And people in my church, in my the body that is the church, they know Mondays are my Sabbath. They try not to call me on a Monday because they're like, Brandon is doing his thing and he needs his break and he deserves his break. You know, those Tuesday rolls around, guess what? The problems are still there mm-hmm. and you're still having to work in those. So yeah, the church still going to be there,
mm-hmm.
you know? I got a few more that are on my list that I'll ask you. What do you think about? How about this one? It's okay to not be okay.
Mm.
What do you think about that one?
That's deep right there. Yeah. Yeah. I sense that many of us struggle with that. Again, because we live in a culture that we portray that things are okay. Like, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I remember one time somebody asked, how are you? And I said, I'm not good. Okay, well, we have these tasks to do. Mm-hmm. So it's almost a custom here in America, it seems like, that how are you? It's just an introduction, but like, and to be okay. And when we give answers like that, people are shocked almost like, oh no, something obviously is not right. But it's creating a culture that it's okay that I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to, I'm a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's what I do in my work as a counselor, that I'm listening to some people who are drug addicts or alcoholics, and they begin to talk about their pain or they act out and overreact, they deflect. I begin to identify their pain, and then I give it a name.
Mm-hmm. Like Edgar?
Edgar?
No. You give it a name, like a human name?
I will mention, and I gently touch it.
Okay.
So sometimes I'll be talking and quoting scripture, and I'll notice the person start speeding up and start getting upset, and they start bawling, and it's the awkward silence. And I say, hey, brother, I see those tears.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly start coming out. Well, my daughter abandoned me, and I can't get in touch. I'm just overwhelmed. I just don't get it. Suddenly the real problem, again, I identified the pain that was there. I gave it a name. I see those tears. And I gently touched it. And it's amazing because he was not okay. And I just named it, made a statement. And suddenly it came out. Floods of emotion, floods of past pain, floods of church hurt that he felt. And it was pretty incredible. But I've learned that in a busy season of life where, so much of pain can come out in how people react or what people do or cope. And try to identify by saying it's okay not to be okay.
Mm. Yeah, and I think in church, we tend to look at each other as friends in church, but we probably are more like acquaintances. Because an acquaintance you can laugh with, but a friend you can cry with.
Mm.
So how many people, those listening, how many people do you have that you could call at 2 a.m. in the morning and could just cry with them and hurt with them? That's a friend.
Mm.
That's we need more of that. So it's okay not being okay. You also said earlier, Jonathan, about how ministry is a very performance-driven atmosphere. And so even like on a Sunday morning, you know, we get up there and we smile and we say, hey, welcome. And we want to be the best welcome ever to such and such church. And, you know, what's it like to not be okay even in those moments?
Mm.
You know what I mean? I remember one Sunday, it was actually a Saturday evening service. Man, I was broken. I don't know if this will make sense, but I was broken over my own brokenness. That's where I was at in that time. And I just went before the group and in my own brokenness, and I didn't try to hide a single thing. I just said, I am tore up, but I'm here for you. And I'm going to minister. And at the end of that night, people came up to me and they were like, that was the best service we've ever had. Because it was just authentic. It was real. I wasn't trying to be fake. I wasn't trying to present myself in a fake way. I don't know. Do you want to say anything on that?
So often, it's okay not to be okay means having the courage to speak the unspoken,
mm-hmm.
and just identifying the room. I had the privilege and joy of being a transitional pastor over a church that had a major split and major hurt.
Mm.
And the church was deeply hurt, and there were fighting, there were quarreling, and there was just chaos. And I just walked in the room, I looked around, and I said, brothers, sisters, friends, this is just awful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And suddenly just everybody just sighed. Like, it was obvious, but it was like, this is where we are. And scripture speaks about the art of lamenting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an art that has been so lost in the church. It doesn't mean we express it in unhealthy ways or suppress it or repress it, but we confess it. There's something beauty into that when we utilize praise and prayer. And again, speak the unspoken. And affirm the church, it's okay not to be okay. And it's okay for me not to be okay, but it often starts with, like you, Brandon, you said, starting with the leaders, leadership, and modeling and emulating. And there's such power and healing into that. There's often, you know, the phrase, the big elephant.
Mm-hmm.
I say, there's always an elephant in the room. I would say even feed the elephant. Just bring it forth. And speak the unspoken. Okay, people know it's not okay to be okay, but it's okay to be okay. There's power in that, and the power of transformation and transparency.
That's good. I know I have a couple more, so I'm going to throw another one at you. A truth about our own humanity and ministry. I will make mistakes, even big mistakes.
Mm.
We're not perfect. We act like we are sometimes, but we're not perfect. I remember there was a pastor who, he did me wrong. He really did something wrong to me. And I kind of approached him on it. And just because I expected more out of him, and his response was, and there's some truth in his response. He said, you realized I'm not perfect. And that, I guess that was a realization that he is just a human who makes mistakes too. I make mistakes, even big mistakes. What you got?
Oh, that's it's almost obvious, right? That we all know. But this is the truth, isn't it? There are really no rules. But that's almost an unspoken rule,
mm-hmm.
that the rule is leaders can't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the rule is that there's no rules in this. We make mistakes because we are people and we're not Jesus. We're a human being, like we talked about earlier. So that's been very helpful for me, that deals with my apathy or my frustration or my confusion. Realizing it doesn't matter the best system or strategy or structure, there's actually no rules.
Mm.
And be okay with the element of surprise. And just like, I think one episode we talked about how we are to trust God in the elements of surprise, how to trust Him even though we don't see the future, how we don't see things. And that we are going to make mistakes, little mistakes and big mistakes. And the biggest thing is to learn from that, right? And get up. And Proverbs 24 says, a righteous man falls seven times but rises again. But a fool falls and doesn't rise up and brings destruction and corruption. So I often tell, even when I work in counseling, drug rehab, where rehab turns into relapse, I said, as long as God gives you lungs in your air, it means that God has not given up on you. As long as God gives you a pulse, he has a purpose. And let's get up. It's okay. And let's not waste our mistakes. I think there was a book written, Don't Waste Your Cancer. So often we look at cancer like the capital C, cancer, and we go into this defeatist mentality.
Mm.
No, the capital C is Christ. Christ is greater. He is stronger. He is higher. He is better than any other.
Mm.
And we need to remember that, no, God has not given up on me. This we can use this for good, and move forward, even in our small mistakes, even our big mistakes.
So it's important to, as we present ourselves, not to present ourselves as people that are perfect,
mm-hmm.
but to present ourselves in realistic ways. And then when we do make a big mistake, one that's, you know, apparent, to acknowledge that, ask for forgiveness if needed. And be able to grow, like you said. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I got one last one, and it ties back into the mistakes, but it's just that God gives me grace. That's where I would like to go next. God gives me grace. And I love 1 John. I love 1 John where it says we get grace upon grace. I think in another verse it says, like, we're lavished basically with grace from our Savior that we don't deserve. And yeah, let's go there.
So often, I believe it was Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preacher, said, there's nothing like the school of suffering.
Mm.
And at times God brings mistakes from our past, and the reality is that God's grace powerfully works through some of the mistakes, and we need grace. I think about Hebrews 12. It speaks about where the root of bitterness taking place, and we've fallen short of God's grace.
Mm.
And it's taken many people out. That what people need most in past hurt or pain or mistake is not a lesson or a ramp back. What they need is grace. And I know it's a phrase that we often use, but really grace in a measurable, practical way that helps us to carry us on. Grace, yes, the grace of God would take us and lead us and transform us. And that's such good news, isn't it? That grace helps us to carry on. Grace carries us to the next day. Grace helps us to transform more in the likeness of Jesus. And when we being graced by God, I believe, at least for me as a young preacher, pastor, it makes me more humble.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes me more gracious towards others. I, since in my early 20s, I thought I would never be like that guy. I would never be, I'm not going to ever give up on ministry. But there is some stuff that people go through that is so crushing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 1 Corinthians. It says, God, the God of all grace and the God of all mercy. Has shown unto us so that we could show grace and mercy towards one another. So it allows me, again, it's an oxymoron. It sounds like you're able to be humble and be confident at the same time because you're able to sit across from somebody who's walked through some really hard stuff and it's like, I've been there, I've done that. Got the hat, got the water bottle, I got the t-shirt. And I feel you and I'm here for you. I'm not judging you. I'm just walking alongside of you here, which actually makes you a better pastor.
Good. So you're saying they give out water bottles and t-shirt? I didn't get a water bottle.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
You only got the hat, huh?
I only got the hat and the t-shirt. And the t-shirt was too small. But anyway, one more truth. Maybe this will be a good one to finish on. A new day will come is what the truth is. I don't know if you've noticed, but every 24 hours, it seems like there's a new day. And until Jesus returns and does whatever he wants to do, creating a new heaven, a new earth, the sun still rises after the moon is set. So no matter what you're really going through, there is a new day to come. And I remind myself of that, and I'm thankful for that. And perhaps God created history like that to remind us that life still continues. We still pursue. I'm still a child of the King, no matter what.
Yeah. Just again, reminded that Jesus meets us where we're at. Mm-hmm. He invites us to his table. He welcomes sinners like you and I. And the good news is, what was it? Is it J.I. Packer who wrote the book, Root of Righteousness? He said, it's doubtful that God can bless a man richly until he has broken him deeply or hurt him deeply. And grace abounds. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Though our sin there are many, his mercy is even more. And through those moments and through those lives, we are able to see. I was reminded of this technique. It's kintsugi in Japanese. It's a technique, as I see just in front of me, you have a beautiful plant and a...
Bonsai.
Bonsai, yes. And so often in Japan, there's this ancient technique that they break a pot, which people say that's useless, throw it away. They've used these gold and glue and they put it back. And actually what happens... That broken pot fixed with the gold, kin is gold, tsuki is connect. Mm-hmm. It brings way more value of what that is. And that's the thing, as ministers of the gospel, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Christ, God uses those moments to make us more conform in the likeness of Christ. And we're not the same person as before. You may say, well, I'm not the man I ought to be, but I'm not the man I used to be.
Yeah.
And that's the good news of the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of Jesus that carry us on. And knowing that there is a tomorrow, knowing that there is another week and no temptation overtaking us, which is common to man. God is faithful. He does not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability to bear, but he always makes a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So we are to learn from our mistakes and grow from that. And to move forward together, trusting Him, walking with Him.
Well, there you go. Just a few of those great truths we've learned. And as humans here on earth and ministers, you want to call us out?
Yeah, thank you again for listening to the podcast. I hope it blessed you and is encouraging. Feel free to leave us a 5-star review, if you would, on Apple or whatever, Spotify, your favorite podcasting listening station. And hopefully we'll be back again to record some episodes. Again, thank you so much for being here. God bless you all, and ciao.